It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station.
It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump.
Cleveland, Max Landis.
Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown.
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible.
Listen to me, I'm older and I'm wise.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this,
amateur
hour?
This is going to be huge.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Just when I think you said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Yeah, I'm playable. Scratch that, baby, I'm playable. Gotta say it's really been a while. But now I got back the smile.
Here we go. To take you off on a Wednesday, on a Monday. It is the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump. It is Adam Lundy in the producer's chair. I got to about the third word and already screwed up the entire week. It's done. Let's just, you know, trash. Let's just go ahead. We need a mulligan to start this whole week over. We got a big show, though. We got plenty to talk about with the NFL draft, the Indianapolis Colts selections. Also, we'll talk Pacers basketball, the NFL draft, the NBA playoffs, and still news coming out of the transfer portal. It seems to be a never-ending saga. Tin Caps didn't exactly have their best week last week, but they're off and off for a while out of Parkview Field, and we'll talk about the latest with the Tin Caps. And good news for Maria Marcusano and Purdue Fort Wayne women's basketball. They continue to build their roster. I think they are done now, maybe. But you can always weigh in on the show, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Also, today you can watch the show. It's one of those rare days. We've got a Facebook Live going. So if you want to go to facebook.com/1380thefan, you can actually watch the show. And today you can see the old small studio that we are in. Adam and I are sitting not more than, you know, an arm's length away from one another. And you can actually check it out by going to 1380 The Fan on Facebook. Adam.
Hey.
Seems like I just was sitting here with you. My weekend went by in a blur.
I know what you mean, man. It was a quick one.
Friday night, rain delay at Tin Caps Great Lakes. And so we got started late Friday night. So I get home late on Friday. And then all Saturday morning is quick prep, heading to the ballpark, get ready for a 1 o'clock broadcast, and then it's a long game on Saturday. Don't get home till 4:30, 4:45. Want to catch the Panthers Lightning game, and then Sunday, same routine, up early, get all the lineups entered, look up stats and some prep, and head over to the ballpark, 11 o'clock or so, 1 o'clock game, and then last night, course, watching the Pacers.
Oh yeah.
And so it's like, that's the weekend. I can pretty much tell you everything I did in a matter of about 30 seconds, but not a lot of time for, you know, any fun, running around, relaxation. Just didn't happen this weekend, but we are back at it today. Glad to be here. And of course, any comments you might have about whether it's the Colts or anyone else with the NFL draft that was going on all weekend while we were at the baseball game. Also, how about those Pacers?
Hey.
It's been a long time since Pacers have been in a position to win a series. The last time they won a series in the NBA playoffs was 10 years ago.
Wow.
And, they came into these playoffs. It was 5 years since they even won a darn game in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So it's real good news to see how the Pacers perform. They took care of business at home. Now they got a commanding 3-1 lead over the Milwaukee Bucks, and it just seems like it is not the year for the Bucks.
No. I mean, especially now with these injuries continuing to pile up for them, it's like, what do you even do at this point?
Yeah, and the guys that aren't injured get kicked out 4 minutes into the game.
How about that?
So it's like, okay, we're just going to completely handicap your team, even in a almost must-win situation. Now they are in must-win because it's if they don't win, the series is over. But for Milwaukee, first you had Giannis out. Then you had Middleton was a question mark. You had Lillard. He was ruled out. So they didn't play Giannis or Lillard. And then And then you had Bobby Portis, who decided to throw a little bit of a roundhouse right-hander. Now, it wasn't a, you know, it wasn't clutch fist, and it wasn't a true, it was, wasn't, I don't know what you call it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do know what you call it, but I can't say it on the radio. But it was a roundhouse with kind of an open hand. And it got kind of into the neighborhood of the head of Andrew Nebhard. And so he was ejected. They gave him two technicals on the same play, one for the shove, which was the initial technical, one for the punch thrown, gone.
Oh, man.
Ejected from the game. So, wasn't yeah. good for Milwaukee, but the Pacers took advantage of it. That's the other thing you got to do is you
right.
can't let down because you know the other team's shorthanded. You've got to go ahead and take care of business. And, man, did the Pacers take care of business. How about the three-point shooting last night? Insane.
Yeah,
for the Pacers.
Playoff record there for them. Playoff record in threes.
22 made threes out of 43 attempts.
Oh, man.
Now, they shot plenty. They weren't shy about taking them. And at times I thought some of the shot selection was a little bit of immaturity in dealing with playoff basketball because, yeah, you get all caught up in the run and everybody's making shots. And so you want to get yours because the ball's going in. You know, there's something about the rim, something about the basketball's like, I got to shoot one because it's kind of like in baseball. You ever have it where like three or four guys in a row get hits and you're thinking, man, I just wish I was coming up this inning because you almost feel like you got a better chance of getting a hit if you come up in that situation than if you come up after three guys in front of you just struck out. And so a couple of guys I thought took quick threes or early threes on possessions where they could have gotten better shots because they did have some mismatches at that point. But, man, the Pacers put on a show, excited the crowd. Milwaukee did make a run there in the second half. But then they got Miles Turner'd.
They sure did.
Big time.
My goodness.
And like I've said all along on this show, he is my favorite Pacer.
Have you said that now?
Not really.
Oh.
I think at one point I endorsed trading Miles Turner. And I got to come clean. You know, sometimes you make judgments based on current situations. Sometimes those situations change, and they certainly have with Miles Turner. In fact, I bet you 80% of those people that were chanting Miles Turner's name at Gainbridge Fieldhouse probably at some point were on social media complaining about the guy, wanting him traded, send him out of town, pack him up, don't re-sign him, whatever, because at times he was not productive. He was not earning his money. But something has clicked with Miles Turner.
Maybe it's being a playoff team. Maybe that's what it is.
Could be part of the combo he's playing with, the fact that Tyrese Halliburton came in as a guard.
The fact that they now have a great forward that can also score and play defense and provide some more height.
Well, and I think Turner even had started to show this last year.
Yeah.
Kind of like all of a sudden he became a different player. Maybe part of it was because all the turmoil and all the questions about being traded and about being signed mm-hmm. long-term. Mm-hmm. And the fact once he got the contract and once he got through the trade window, maybe he became more comfortable. Maybe he embraced his role. Maybe he, you know, didn't have to worry about the outside stuff and he became a better player. I don't know. I'm not in the head of Miles Turner, but I can tell you he's not the player that I wanted to have them ship out of town 3-4 years ago.
Right.
And I have to come clean on that. I mean, that was the situation then. But right now, he is as valuable as gold right now to the Pacers.
Absolutely.
As the Pacers roll to a 126-113 win, Miles Turner, 7-for-9. It's kind of strange to see a guy 7 feet tall doing his best Steph Curry impersonation, but Miles Turner did it like he couldn't miss.
No, he was great from behind the arc, too. Yeah, it's like, what are we doing here?
And again, who kicks out the passes? Well, Halliburton. He drives, kicks it out, finds Miles. And some of those passes are drives to the basket where he has to do a complete 180 to find Miles out at the three-point line.
Mm-hmm.
But great job of setting him up for good, clean looks. I'll tell you this. When it comes to three-point shooting, anytime that you get a pass from near the basket out to the three-point line, you should make that shot.
Mm.
Why? Because you catch it with your shoulders already squared up, your feet already balanced. You're in a shooting position when you make that catch. The hips, shoulders, hands, wrists, everything's lined up for the basket because you're catching it from where you're going to shoot it. And And but you know, where you become a great shooter is when you can make the catch off your hip, like a pass that comes from the right wing up to the top of the key, or a pass from the top of the key to the right wing, where the guy that's catching it, receiving it, has to turn the hips, the shoulders, catch, adjust, go up and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I tweeted this, I think. I can't remember if I actually sent it. I typed it, but one of the things that's my pet peeves is when I watch shooting drills at practices. And, I mean, you could, from Purdue Fort Wayne to high school practices to, you know, going out, checking out an AAU weekend, that there's a lot of guys that shoot. And, you know, you only get so much time you're able on the court with a ball having a chance to put up shots.
Mm-hmm.
And they waste that time by having these slow rhythm shots. You know, grab the ball, bounce it a couple times, then go up and take a shot. And I'm like, those aren't game shots. They're not making you a better game player when it comes next season. Game shots are when somebody snaps a pass to you from the top of the key to the wing and you catch and shoot in rhythm quickly,
mm-hmm.
because someone's closing out on you. And I don't think those are practiced enough. I think it changes the rhythm in game than what a lot of these guys have when they practice. And therefore, they never become great three-point shooters. If you watch the drills Steph Curry does, yes, he's a great shooter. But a lot of the drills he does, he's getting passes from somebody in a certain position on the court so that it duplicates what the shots he's going to get during the game.
Yeah.
But anyway, Miles Turner last night, he was fire.
On fire.
29 points, 7-9 from three, and 9 rebounds. And it was great to see Tyrese Halliburton finally shake the slump he's been in.
Yeah.
1-for-12 from three in Friday night's game.
Oof.
Had a really horrible start to this series, shooting the three ball.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it almost looks, and I was talking in the press box this weekend, that the tough thing is when a guy has got some mechanical flaws in his shot. And Tyrese Halliburton is not necessarily a three-point shooter that shoots it by the book. Okay? It wouldn't be the way you'd train somebody to...
It's an unorthodox shooting form.
Thank you. Unorthodox, best word for it. And so the problem is, as a coach or as somebody that maybe could, you know, help guide him, it's very tough when someone already is unorthodox, because to get them back to where they're shooting well, you're either completely changing their shot or you're trying to find what part of unorthodox are they missing because they look unorthodox. It's hard to identify.
Yeah.
Is the elbow out a little bit? Well, the elbow's always out a little bit.
Yeah.
Are his feet balanced? Well, his feet are always one in front of the other. So it's very hard to fix a guy. And so Halliburton's one of those guys that has to fix himself.
Yeah, he has to shoot himself out of slumps, one of those kind of scenarios.
Yeah, he just has to kind of all of a sudden feel it. Same thing with any sport. Pitching's the same way.
Yeah, or hitting.
You got the guys that just have the perfect mechanics, you know. They're always balanced. Their weight distribution is perfect, you know, back leg, front leg. Everything is right about the way they deliver the baseball. And so if they're having a string where they're not throwing strikes or something else is going wrong, you can usually make that fine tweak or adjustment. But those guys that just go out there and they get all, you know, the arms are going every which direction, sometimes those guys are really tough to fix. When they lose it, you can't get it back. And Tyrese Halliburton got it back. 6 players for the Pacers in double figures. That's when the Pacers are at their best. We talked about this last week, that if the Pacers are only going to put 3 or 4 in double figures, they're going to be in trouble. They've got to have 5, 6, or even 7 guys contributing double-figure scoring. Their depth is their strength. And Pacers end up putting up 126 points. We thought it wasn't going to be the same type of basketball we saw during the regular season. Last night's game was.
Absolutely.
Milwaukee didn't slow it down. And Indiana, happy to take it out of the net and push it quickly into the front court.
Oh, yeah. We got to see some of that Pacers pace at play, is a good way to put it.
There you go. They had pace. Pacers up 3-1. Now I guess the question is to watch the injury wire.
Yeah. See if Dame plays on tomorrow. See if Giannis plays tomorrow. And now we have to look for Chris Middleton. He was a little bit hobbled last night.
Now, Dame's injury was recent, so I would think Lillard's back before Giannis, because I think if Giannis was going to be healthy enough tomorrow night, he'd have been healthy enough last night.
Right.
In a 2-1 situation.
Right.
And he didn't play.
And now it's like, do you even want to play him down 3-1?
No.
Right. Just save him for next season.
I mean, it's, you know, but the thing is, if he couldn't go last night, right. I feel like there's no, the only added importance is now if you lose, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
But you could have felt that way about last night. I mean, down 3-1, you think Giannis coming back for the last three games is like three automatic wins? No.
No, not necessarily at all.
Hasn't been that way during the season,
nope.
And I don't think it's going to change during the playoffs. I think the Pacers are in a great position. I don't know that they win tomorrow night because it depends kind of who plays, but I think it's going to be tough for Milwaukee to win in Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So you're thinking it might be Pacers in six is what you think.
If they don't get it done in five, I'm pretty confident right now in six.
All right. I like that.
Because I thought the crowd was just unbelievable.
They were great. They were great.
And let me say this to those of you that watch the game on TV. If you watch it on TNT, bad audio.
Okay.
They don't give you the full effect of the crowd. If you really want to feel the energy of the building, you watch Chris Denary and Quinn Buckner on Bally Sports Indiana. That had the crowd crisp, clear, and it was loud, but it didn't overwhelm Denary and Buckner.
That's great.
And so we had a chance to really kind of feel what the energy was in that building. Awesome for the Pacers. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. You can weigh in. Let us know what's on your sports brain on this Monday. Let's find out what's happening in the world of sports, checking today's top headlines with Adam Lundy.
All right. Thanks, Brett. Well, Florida Atlantic 7-footer Vlad Golden is withdrawing from the NBA draft and joining the Big Ten. He'll be signing with the Michigan Wolverines. Golden rejoins coach Dusty May and brings his 15.9 points, 7 rebounds, and 1.5 blocks to May's debut recruiting class in Ann Arbor with the Wolverines.
So today was the official announcement of something we've known about for about 3 weeks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Elijah Malone, the NIA Player of the Year for the Grace College Lancers this past season, announced his commitment to play for the Colorado Buffaloes next season today, marking his move to Division I basketball. And the Chiefs extended the contract of tight end Travis Kelce for 2 seasons today, keeping the veteran tight end signed through the 2027 season and ensuring that Taylor Swift will be attending Chiefs games for the foreseeable future.
Let's lock her in. Yeah, the Fever at least have a contract with Caitlin Clark,
right.
So we know that momentum's going to stick around a while, but the relationship, let's do what we can. It's like, Travis, can you pop the question, please? We want to keep her around.
We'll give you a ring.
We'll put it in your next contract. We'll give you a nice big fat diamond. How big of a diamond do you think it would take?
Oh, she would probably pull the, I don't need a big diamond. I don't need that. I just I want to be a regular.
Oh, yeah. You give her a half carat and see how that goes over. I mean,
14. Give me 14 carrots.
14 carrots?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's like adding a thumb.
I don't know how diamonds work.
I used to sell diamonds.
Yeah, you would know a lot more.
Yeah, so I could give you all the four C's, but I'm not going to bore you with that today. But I will tell you this, that I would say four carat, 3.5 to 4 carat, probably. I mean, you got to have, it's Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
It's got to have a little flash, right? A
little rock on there.
Yeah, got to have a little flash. All right, there's today's top headlines. By the way, you mentioned Elijah Malone. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah.
But a little bit of a surprise. I thought that he was going out to Colorado.
I agree.
Thought it might be something closer to home. We had a pretty good indication it wasn't going to be IU. But I thought Notre Dame was going to be a very logical choice.
Mm.
You know, an hour or so from his home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have an opportunity that you could step in and potentially start. You could play with a star. I just Marcus Burton, you have a guard that can get you the ball. I mean, I just thought the scenario was in place for him to be lured into, and people that are from the north edge of the state, you kind of grow up having Notre Dame forced at you, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so whether or not you do it intentionally or not, you're going to end up being somewhat of a fan of Notre Dame. I just expected it was going to be Notre Dame. So I'm a little bit surprised that it is Colorado, but best of luck to him. Plenty more Coming up on the show, WNBA practicing. The Pacers and Spurs are already announced for next year. Where will they play? NBA with a little bit of a news drop today. Also, some more from the transfer portal. We've got news about our summer kickoff party. Plenty more. Stick with us on a Monday edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. I mentioned on Friday that I wasn't thrilled with the first-round draft pick of the Indianapolis Colts. I really felt like they had to get the speed guy on the outside. I thought that was a weapon that Anthony Richardson has to have on this roster. Wasn't sure that they would find him. And a lot of times you kind of feel like you can't wait for the, you know, the star guy. Well, I think the Colts caught a break. I think Chris Ballard gambled a little bit, and I think his gamble's paying off. And, you know, I wasn't happy with Chris Ballard, but he did do some things over the weekend to kind of make it up to me. And so I think ultimately the Colts came out of this draft not bad. I look at the 9 picks they ended up making, which, of course, Chris Ballard pulled a Chris Ballard and traded down, added more picks, then traded back up, but he still acquired more picks. And so he ended up with 9 players out of the draft. I think 4 or maybe 5 have a spot that they could earn on the roster. I think there's a couple that could be starters, although one might be on special teams. I think maybe a third guy could start. But ultimately, I think the Colts did okay. Now, the one position I think they left themselves short is the corner, mm-hmm. where they waited until the late fifth round, to finally draft a corner. I don't know if that means that they're looking at the free agent list of guys that could potentially be available, and maybe they've got their eye on somebody that they think they could possibly get a deal with. We'll ask J.J. Stankovic about that, because he's going to join us in hour number 2 at about 5:20.
Well, that's perfect. He's certainly been covering the draft with gusto.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it. we'll get the gusto from J.J. Stankovic coming up at 5:20.
If you had to do the stereotypical thing and give the Colts draft a letter grade, what's your letter grade?
I hate doing that.
You hate doing it?
I really do. Here's the problem with it.
Let's hear it.
There's always a no name that ends up being a star.
Sure.
There's always a star that ends up becoming a no name. It is so hard to tell from a draft. Now, 5 years down the road, I'll be happy to give this a grade. But really, it's how many of these guys are great pros?
Right.
And, you know, you have the systems they're in, the coaching they'd received, what position they played. Are they going to move position? Who plays next to them? You know, it's like if you've got DeForest Buckner playing next to you, that's different than if you have, you know, Joe Smith.
Oh, that Joe Smith.
You know, it's just you have to put a lot of factors into it to determine what kind of a pro are they going to be. And ultimately, to me, the measuring stick is not, you know, this guy was rated higher than what they drafted him. To me, the measuring stick is, what do you have 4 or 5 years from now? How many of these guys are signing second contracts? How many of them are perhaps pro bowlers? Did you get a pro bowler out of this draft? Because I think every draft you want to get a pro bowler.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal, really, of a first round pick. And, you know, I have reservations about Leiatu Latu, because the Colts have not exactly shown a history of picking the right guy. And I remember Quiddy Pay. That was an unusual name. Ode Obengdo Dobdengabo.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah. Odengbo.
There you go.
And how he was being sold as the next great coming and hot pick as a pass rusher.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, they've given their effort to try to bring in pass rushers. They've got 4 of them on the roster right now, and I think 3 of the 4 they drafted. Ebukam, they did not draft. But out of those guys, is there anybody that you aren't willing to go out and take a first-round pick over?
Mm.
And that kind of tells me that they never really scored when they went after pass rushers. And so, once again, I'm kind of cautiously optimistic is the best way to put it. I don't think it was the best pick, because I thought Chris Ballard going into the draft should be aggressive and go up and get one of the top 3 receivers or get Brock Bowers.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, get the best weapon that's on the board, get the best weapon in this draft. You've got some draft capital, go up and get them. and he didn't get the deal done. And he even admitted to us he tried and he failed.
Right.
Now, he can blame the other side and saying, you know, they didn't want to tango. But, and that's why it still has to kind of sink in for me that the Colts made the effort to go up and get a Bowers or get a Neighbors or get a Dunze and didn't get it done.
I get you. So you feel the same way about draft grades as you feel about preseason polls.
Yeah, preseason polls are just a total waste of
same,
time.
Same category.
Total waste of time. Well, and here's the problem. If you did a preseason poll, okay, I'm fine. Put it out. Get people talking. Okay, it's more a PR stunt than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But here's where I have issue with preseason polls, is then they become the basis. They're like the starting point for every team to move up or move down.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you had no poll and a team comes out and wins 54-0 over a perceived good opponent,
mm-hmm.
okay, if you had no poll, that team could come in and maybe be the fifth or sixth best team in the country. Let's just use that as an example. But if that team was ranked number 20, and then they have a win like that, they're not going up past 13 or 14. You know, it's like,
right.
So now they're 7 or 8 spots below where they could have been if there wasn't that preconceived starting point, or however you want to put it. That's my problem with preseason polls. And the fact that, like right now, you're putting out the early top 25 basketball for next year.
That's crazy.
it's like a flip-flop. Every week, you're getting completely different results.
Oh, geez.
They haven't even played a game. But the point is, you don't know who they're going to have out of the portal, how
right.
those guys are going to mesh. I'm not a big – I think – you know, in basketball, I think you got to see 4 or 5 games, then decide what the teams rank against each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think in football, you've probably got to go a couple of weeks, but everybody loves a poll.
Everybody loves them.
46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. 46862. So the WNBA started practice, and Candace Parker decided practice.
I'm over that.
Practice?
No way.
Not for me. I'm done.
Kind
of an odd time to retire.
Yeah, like it also just came out of nowhere too.
Must have thought that that when it came time for the season, that her heart and her everything would get into it. She'd be ready to go. She just said, "It was time."
Mm.
She said, "I felt it in my heart and my body for the last year or two."
Yeah.
But it took a while for my mind to catch up.
Absolutely.
And accept it.
Absolutely.
Because I wanted to continue to play. I didn't want to face the reality that I won't be playing basketball anymore. But she made the decision. She goes down, I think, as one of the greats in the women's game.
Absolutely.
Her big years with the Los Angeles Sparks. And then, of course, I remember her when she was with Tennessee.
I don't.
Well, it probably was time to retire.
Maybe.
If it's someone that you don't even remember playing in college, who was like, you know, National Player of the Year. And,
right.
But it was a little bit of a surprise.
It was.
So Las Vegas Aces without one of their best players.
That is a loss, but we'll see. She has a full career ahead in media now, though.
Yeah, because that, you know, she's done well with media,
mm-hmm.
but mostly kind of just filling in. I don't think she had a regular gig.
Right.
And maybe it's because the basketball career got in the way of that.
Makes sense.
Now she's probably going to be a regular game analyst or studio analyst for one of the networks that covers college basketball.
Absolutely.
46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Who do you like as far as the cold selections? How about Ad Mitchell?
Yeah.
Well, maybe even more so. How about Chris Ballard and his comments regarding Ad Mitchell?
Ooh.
Or A.D. Mitchell.
Yeah,
As I guess he's more appropriate. I kept seeing Ad, and I kept calling him Ad, and now I got to break the habit. A.D. Mitchell, the wide receiver out of Texas, Ad and I, Mitchell. But Chris Ballard did not hold back from a language standpoint. How do you feel about that? Obviously, he had a very strong opinion and had a very strong point to make, but did he go too far in dropping all the BS, all the foul language, did he have to go to that extreme? And did it make him look, especially with that haircut, what the heck's going on with you, Chris? It looks like an outdated Nick Nolte do.
I like the passion.
Looks like he's looking for a surfboard out in California.
One of the Beach Boys or
something.
Yeah,
go ahead, go surf, Chris. But did he have to go that far? Did it make him look unprofessional to do it? A lot of people are singing his praises. Mm-hmm. My first thought is, I've never heard another general manager, which is a rather esteemed professional position, come up on camera, knowingly on camera. You know, it wasn't like an open mic caught him. No, he got up on the podium and went into this tirade. And occasionally you see a coach who's highly emotional, but don't see it from a general manager month. What did you think about it?
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting display of passion that I feel like we don't see from Ballard that often. I feel like he's kind of always just going up there and giving the company answer or defending his actions, but it caught me off guard because I'm just not used to seeing that, like you said, from GMs in the league, especially when they're on a press conference or on video or anything.
And kind of the strange thing about it is the team that benefited the most by that,
right,
was the Colts.
Absolutely.
So he just basically got a draft pick that many people thought from a talent perspective should have been a mid-first rounder or even higher. And he got him in the second round. But then he's going to go out and just rip apart the people that said things under anonymous sources that caused teams to maybe be leery of drafting him. I don't know. I feel like there's a time and a place to defend your guy, and you know all cameras are going to be on you to get that draft presser. You mm-hmm. only have so many appearances. I was a little taken aback by the language.
I get that.
I thought he could have made the point without dropping all the BS and the F this. And but anyway, 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Hour number two, we'll talk more about it with J.J. Stankovic, who will join us from Colts.com, also has a Colts podcast. Regularly he is tweeting or Xing or posting.
Yeah, whatever you call it.
Whatever it is these days about the Colts. We'll talk to him coming up a little after 5:15 this afternoon. And again, we want your text. What do you think about the draft? How did the Colts do? Where did they score? Where did they fail? Let us know, 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line.
Yeah, we'll leave you with one that we just got before we go to break here. Somebody said about Chris Ballard, they said, former players got to love it. The rumors are many times from agents trying to make their guys look better.
On what? Say that again. I've got to let that simmer a bit.
Yeah, they're talking about Chris Ballard and defending they said former players got to love it from Ballard, I'm assuming. The rumors that were made up about him are many times from other agents trying to make their guys look better.
And so what he's saying is he's calling out the agents that tried to make their guy go higher in the draft by taking down one of the better prospects.
Right.
Okay, I get it. I don't know how that impacts former players. Not exactly sure of the connection, but I
think they just might like the intensity from Ballard.
You know, perhaps just general managers as a whole probably appreciate that the agents provide more honesty and not try to target other people. And so if that's his, you know, if that's the message he's trying to send. But again, did he have to go to the language he used to make his point? And, you know, because he could have said, I'm sick and tired of information being leaked and coming through sources to the media. Because mm-hmm. in some ways, it sounded like he was attacking the media. The media is a conduit. I mean, the media gets information from their trusted sources. And I think what Chris Ballard is saying, don't trust a source who has an anonymous source or wants to be anonymous. Anybody who wants to be anonymous is hiding behind perhaps a lie. And I think that's the point that Chris Ballard was trying to make. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Back in a moment, Luke Goody has made it official. And where is everybody going? We're starting to get the dust settling with some of the transfer portal news. We'll tell you on a couple of local or in-state guys and where they are transferring to. Also, big one tonight taking place in the Sunshine State. Yeah, Panthers, they had their chance to close it out, didn't get it done. They're back at it tonight. We'll talk about that. It's all part of a Monday edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brett Rump, Adam Lundy, and we are connected on Facebook today. You can watch a video of us in the cozy confines of the 1380 The Fan studio. Still in the small box today. Well, might be tomorrow and Wednesday, Thursday.
Small box.
Yeah, we're in the small box.
We're in the sin bin.
Yeah, we're the prize at the bottom of the Cracker Jack. But here we are, and you can watch us right now. It reminds me of the original days of the show is what it looks like. Yeah. A throwback. We're having our own little throwback because everybody used to look at the back of D.C. Hendrix the entire show. Today you can look at the back of Adam Lundy, but you can check out the show on Facebook.com, 1380 The Fan. And also don't forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can catch up. You can watch video there, or you can catch up on the podcast page. Hope you're a subscriber. Hope you review, you rate, you like, all that kind of fun stuff. Wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, search for us by name, The Sports Rush with Brett Rump. We are posting each and every day within 30 minutes of the show ending, so you never have to miss. So if, you know, there's a meeting that didn't get out in time and you missed your favorite segment of the show. And I promise you, if you get into the show late, you missed your favorite segment. You just didn't know it.
Yeah.
But when you go back and listen, you're like, oh, boy, I'm so glad.
Absolutely.
Actually, I do have people that say they are so thankful of the podcast because there's always something that comes up. They have to jump away.
Right.
And it's always right when I talk about something they were waiting for me to talk about. And so you should always have it available. And you can scroll through. Adam puts in a big description of everything that's on the show so you can know exactly what's coming up if you want to listen to the podcast. But I'll just say this. You should always check it.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
And then, you know, click it just for a second so we get credit. But you always have it available to listen to every single day. You know what we've got coming up? And it's actually happening in only, what is it, 3.5 weeks?
Yeah, less than a month now. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's coming up in a hurry. It was 4 weeks from last Thursday, so I guess it's 3.5 weeks now.
Matt.
It is our summer kickoff with the Tin Caps, or should we say the Wizards?
The Wizards?
It's throwback night on May 23rd, and we are going to be there. You know what we've done? We've done our listeners a big, fat favor. We have reserved the Summit, which is normally an exclusive group-only seating area.
Ooh.
You cannot get individual tickets on a general basis to sit in the Summit. That's the top level of the 400 Club straightaway center field, out in the center field concourse. You know, that section way up top where you see the awning, you see the chairs, you see people waving for a home run ball. That could be you. That could be us coming up on May 23rd. It is a Thursday night leading into a holiday weekend, so there is no excuse.
None.
Thursday, as always, throwback to the Wizards night. Here's the deal. You get the ticket, and your $40 ticket is going to include a food buffet.
Phew.
Yeah, where it's...
I'm already sold.
I'd say all you can eat, but we keep trying to avoid saying those words in front of Adam.
Oh, don't do that.
We want to save some for our listeners. All you can eat food buffet. You have beer and wine available, so there'll be drinks being served. You will have a special commemorative cup with the logos from 1380 The Fan, the Tin Caps, and Midwest Box Breaks, who's kind enough to sponsor our whole event. And this is, without them, we probably aren't able to do this whole thing. So,
yeah, big shout out to Ben and Midwest Box Breaks.
Yep. Great people. They care so much about the community and trying to share the hobby of card collecting. But it is May 23rd, and right now the tickets are on sale. You can get the link by going to our website at 1380thefan.com, or you can find us on social media and just look for the special promo. Click through, buy your tickets, be part of the event. Don't be left out. It is a rare, maybe once-in-a-lifetime chance to sit in that section of the ballpark.
I can say I've never had a chance to watch a game from up there myself. So
no,
I'm part of the group.
I've got all access, but I have never accessed that part of the ballpark.
You and me both.
Now I've accessed some places. No, I actually, it's like, I don't know if I want to climb the stairs today, but it is, it's just a very exclusive opportunity to see the ballpark from that section. And so get your tickets. And really, it's quite the bargain because you figure out, you go out to eat and you go to an all-you-can-eat buffet and add up a couple of beers or, you know, whatever you have with your dinner. And then start figuring, okay, now I'm going to go to the Tin Caps game. What are the tickets to the Tin Caps game going to cost me? When you add it up, $40 ends up being a bargain.
I have to agree.
And you're going to even leave, if you're one of the first 100 people to buy the tickets, with a commemorative cup from the event. And on top of it, it's the throwback to the Wizards night, which means it's going to be a big crowd. Thursdays always draw well. So all your friends will see you up there and think, boy, they're really important.
Some VIPs. Not to mention, it's also, they're going to have fireworks at the end of the night. So like, what better way to round out a perfect night than some fireworks at the ballpark?
Yep, Tin Cap's out of town for the next couple of weeks, so really it's part of their homestand when they get back.
Can't wait.
Not far away. Don't be left out. There is a limited number of tickets available, and so you do need to get these locked in. Go to 1380thefan.com or find us on social media and click the summer kickoff party at Parkview Field, May 23rd.
Only 10 days after my birthday.
And I'm also told by our boss that I can guarantee that you'll have perfect weather. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
It'll be perfect.
We don't know.
No, we don't. No guarantees.
But I can guarantee this. That it will be better than it was probably last week on Wednesday or Thursday.
I hope it's better than it is right now. Looks like we've got some rain across Fort Wayne here right now as we speak.
Well, we cannot complain right now.
That's true.
We are very lucky.
We are
with
lucky.
Some of the storms that went through the Midwest.
Oh, you know, that is a great point, Brett.
We complain about a little rain. No, I'm not going to go there because there are people right now trying to figure out where they're going to live. Just horrible storms.
Yeah, absolutely.
That went through.
Yeah.
And you know, those could have been storms heading for us. Just happened. The jet stream was just a little bit to our west, so it went through over toward Missouri, Iowa, Kansas, Oklahoma, but, you know, more the center part of the country than here. But the effects of this rain, this is actually the system.
Right.
But it kind of rained itself and stormed itself out by the time it got here. So
that's a great point, Brett. Appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah, I just don't want you to look like a goof.
more than I am.
46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. 46862. So the NBA announced that the Pacers-Spurs are going to play twice next year in Paris, France. Ah, Paris.
Paris. Are we going?
Yeah, I think it will be a live broadcast for the Sports Rush. man, I'll tell you what, we need Midwest Box Breaks to pony up sponsor this.
Ben.
Yeah, the price went up a little bit, Ben. we're not going to it. Next year, we're not going to a Tin Caps game.
We're going to the Eiffel Tower.
At the summit, we're going to the Eiffel Tower to broadcast. No, it's Pacers Spurs going to play twice next January. And both games will be in Paris. Geez, I wonder what the connection is to France.
Obviously, one Victor Wembanyama, the national pride of France in the NBA, had a great rookie season, and they'll be excited to see him next season.
Yep. And and also the NBA has announced that the Indiana Pacers will play a game on Tuesday in Wisconsin.
Oh, whoa.
That's obviously because of Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah,
speaking of going home.
That's why they're having this game there.
That's exactly what they're... No, it's going to be game five of the series with the Pacers and the Bucks, and a chance for the Pacers to close it out after they got the exciting win last night. And, Adam, the Pacers and the Knicks are a win apiece away from a semifinal... conference semifinal matchup.
Yeah, I'm excited about that potentially happening, but I do want to focus on winning one more game against these 76ers.
So I can't get you riled up into whatever the bet might be, because clearly with you being a Knicks fan.
Yeah.
Okay, I should. Now, it's very hard for me to get anybody on my side, but I should be able to rally the troops on my side against you.
I think so.
In this one occurrence, since you're a Knicks fan. And the Pacers may have to play the Knicks. If the Pacers get by, the Milwaukee Bucks.
Right, but just right now I'm in Kobe Bryant mode.
Knicks are good.
Job not finished.
Philadelphia's done. Embiid, he's
a clown, man.
Oh, he just, you know, he's never going to win. He's not a champion.
No.
He is not a champion.
No.
And they started this whole thing with a process, and every one of them dropped off. And now it's time to just move on from Embiid.
Right. It's like, how many different team iterations are we going to try around Embiid before we realize he can't lead this team?
We tried Harden, and Simmons was there. And
Butler.
Yeah.
Everybody.
I mean, everybody's been in Philly trying to help Joel Embiid. And he's a great player.
Yeah. And, I mean, even...
But he's just... The attitude.
Oh, don't get me started.
It is not a championship culture. And that whole culture is established, not by changing coaches, not by upper management. That whole culture is Joel Embiid, and it's rotten to the core. And so.
Yeah, if I'm them,
I somehow pick the Sixers to win that series.
If I'm the Sixers, I get rid of Embiid and rebuild around Maxey.
Yeah. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Coming up in our next hour, JJ Stankovic is going to join us to talk about the Colts draft. Also, we've got your best bets on TV tonight. It's a Monday, but that doesn't mean we're short of some great things to follow. We'll tell you what's on tap, and we'll also. Talk a little bit NHL hockey, because there's a big one, at least in my mind, happening tonight. We'll talk about it all coming up in our next hour. It's the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.